public hearing of Mr. Griffin. I presume you'll handle that.
This is the appointed time for a public hearing on a proposed ordinance affecting land use within the county. We'll begin by Mr. Lank informing us of the what happened at the time of the public hearing before the Planning and Zoning Commission. After any questions by council of Mr. Lank, we will open the floor to public comment. And if you, when we do that, if you wish to be recognized, just raise your hand. And when you come to the podium, please state your name and your address so we'll be able to preserve and determine, at, if necessary, who said what. So, Mr. Lank, would you like to give us the preliminary information?
Yes, I will. This is an ordinance to amend Chapter 115, Section 22 of the Code of Sussex County, allowing for an increase of density for multifamily dwelling structures and or townhouses and or townhomes in AR1 districts within comprehensive plan growth areas, providing for specific circumstances, fees, and or conditions for obtaining such an increase in density, and providing an incentive for the acquisition and preservation of open space and or active and or passive recreational areas. Planning and Zoning Commission held public hearing on this application on June 14th of 2007.
I should.
The commission was provided with copies of all correspondence received to date. Before council earlier or last week, you were provided with a copy of a memo referencing all correspondence. The correspondence was attached. It included correspondence received during the commission's public hearing on the 14th. We also received, after comments from Brian Hall with the Office of State Planning Coordination, copies of the Office of State Planning Coordination comments and a copy of Mr. Griffin's comments to a letter to Ms. Holland with the Office of State Planning Coordination. And I've also attached a copy of the ordinance as was proposed. And just in synopsis, this amendment prohibits multifamily dwelling units and or townhouse and or townhome units in AR1 districts outside of the comprehensive plan growth areas, and allows the county to consider approving said units with a density bonus as a conditional use. The density bonus and fee structure will be determined by reference to the bonus density fee set forth in ordinance number 1842 for cluster subdivisions, with the exceptions that a fee must be paid for every multifamily unit and or townhouse and or townhome unit in excess of 2 units per gross acre. And there must be at least 40% open space provided in each application filed under this amendment. It also allows the county to consider to allow such an application to be processed and considered on an expedited basis. In the public hearing process, the commission, as I stated, was provided with copies of correspondence received prior to the hearing. There were a couple parties present in support of the ordinance and made comments, which is a part of my report. There were parties present in opposition to the ordinance, and it's also a part of my report. And the commission, at the conclusion of the public hearing, did defer action for further consideration and has not yet made a recommendation on this ordinance. And to date, I received no additional comments on this ordinance.
There's a copy of a letter here from R.K. Reese, dated June 5. Is that included in your?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Let me double check the date. June 5th?
Yes.
It is a part of the record I submitted to council.
Okay. And you got the development office's letter from Connie Holland?
It is attached.
It's in, oh, okay, it's attached there.
I attached everything we received today.
Okay.
As I said, I don't know, I thought maybe have a chance to review it.
Does this create any buy right guarantees for developers?
No, it does not create a buy rate guarantee. It's a conditional use process required.
Does this restrict the location that this activity can take place?
It's proposed to restrict it to the areas of the environmentally sensitive developing area, the town centers, and the development districts.
And why would a developer choose to pursue this ordinance, a conditional use ordinance?
Presently, they can pursue it today, but it's under the catch-all, what I call the catch-all clause,
right,
where the ordinance says any residential, business, commercial, or industrial use that's more appropriately approved as a conditional use. So there's no list. In some of the other districts, it actually lists multifamily uses, MR, for example. In the AR district, it doesn't. And this provides a specific application. It'll actually eliminate the use of the catch-all.
But only in the AR district, but not in an AR district that's in the development district.
Right. And yeah, we're only talking about the AR district. That's the only place this ordinance references.
Right, but the AR district in the developing district.
A good majority of the developing district in the town centers and the environmentally sensitive is zoned AR. The majority of it is.
Right, so that's included in all this, right? That this is
the
where
intent of this ordinance is to include the environmentally sensitive, the town center, and the development district.
And a developer,
not the low density area.
Okay, and an RPC still is out there, right? We can still do RPCs.
Yes.
And an RPC in this same area, they could develop it and not have to pay any fees, correct?
Yes.
I'm wondering why a developer would choose to take a path that he would have to pay fees.
I didn't prepare the ordinance. I know.
I understand it. I'm just curious if you had any understanding of that. I'm still trying to figure that one out.
No, I'd agree. The RPC method is still there.
Right.
It was my intent originally to include all upzonings, but when it came down to actually writing the ordinances, it became apparent that the complexity of it would require us to take it step by step. This is, in essence, the second step. I would hope that if this is approved, we could move on to the RPCs, as you expressed concern.
So you want any upzoning would be we would be selling it, basically.
We would be creating a fee that they would pay into to preserve open space, farmland. In essence, we would be creating a conservation fee, so that they can begin to give back for all this wealth that we're granting them with every approved upzoning.
Where is the open space?
It's based on where we apply the money by a 4/5 vote.
So if we decide where this open space, so if some people, I heard a scenario the other day where there was a golf course in a community and there was a rumor going around, and I don't know if it's valid or not, but it was that they're considering, because the developer still owns this golf course, so he was going to go in under this scenario and buy some density. So the people in this community had this golf course, which was sold to them on the basis as it was going to be open space on this other stuff. The developer now has the ability under this ordinance to come in, make an application, take the golf course, buy some density. And so the people who had that open space then in their backyard, where would their open space be? Where would it be? How can we tell these people that they're going to benefit from this ordinance? This is in their best interest. That open space that was near their yards or in their community now is going to be somewhere else. How far away will it be? How will they get to it? And what will they be able to do when they get there?
Under the current zoning, that developer, I would assume, could ask for that same provision. This is actually creating a new and higher hurdle for him to do that. So I would think it would be in that community's best interest to see this passed.
So, but what about the, I mean, there's no benefits of having the open space right there on site?
I'm not sure what the loss of
their open space
is a benefit to them? I just told you that this creates a higher hurdle for that approval. This is still a conditional use.
The higher hurdle is trying to comprehend this.
Well, there's two parts to the open space. There's a 40% open space requirement within the development, and then there's the open space that the funds from the proffer fee would go to purchase that
could you define,
would not be in that development. It would be somewhere in the county.
40% open space, what that means? What is open space in the definition of 40% open space? What would it include? What would it not include?
I think the bill refers to it as unsubdivided land with no improvements. I mean, that was existing subdivision.
I'm just asking, is a stormwater retention pond, would that be considered a part of that 40%?
It has been.
It has been, right. Would a, would 404 wetlands be considered?
It has been.
Right. Would state wetlands?
No.
Oh, wait.
Typically deducted.
Typically, but we could be, right?
It is open space, but right, typically deducted. Right.
So it could be even. So 40% is really not clearly, it could be anything. Parking, green space between the buildings?
Unsubdivided land not contained.
Could be. So there's really no real definition spelling out.
Depending on the type of units that you're that develop.
Well, I'm sure of that, but I'm just saying that, so that's open space, the space between buildings. That's pretty good quality stuff.
Lawrence, under the current process, is there any requirement for open space if a developer wanted to do a conditional use?
If the applicant applied for conditional use, there is no specific reference to open space.
Okay, so right now, Mr. Cole.
That's because we have never done anything with it. Why don't we fix that?
Right. Well, you won't propose anything.
Oh, I've got to propose it before you guys can do it?
That's how you get things done.
Oh, no. There's got to be consensus. And right now, there's no consensus.
Oh, excuse me.
I brought it out.
Don't get blamed at all.
We looked at that three times.
Folks, it's my fault.
Oh, you're lazy.
It's my fault. We don't
gentlemen,
have
it. Our mission.
These guys are useless. It's my fault.
Our mission here is to hear the public.
I understand, but he just accused
other.
Me of.
We have a moment prior to the public comment to try to flush it through your things out. And all I'm saying is, right now we have a 0% requirement for open space, and this creates.
And why would you think that there would be confidence in the general public that this group who has got zero? You know, standards for open space today, that this will be a step in the right direction.
Because this provides no.
There's still no standards.
May I answer your question?
Yeah.
Because right now, there is nothing that prohibits the developer from doing exactly what you.
No, there is. We could prohibit. And through a conditional use application, we have the ability to prohibit.
Excuse me, Mr. Cole. Mr. Phillips had the floor. Okay. Let him finish.
Well, he's just twisted.
Let him finish.
All right.
Nothing changes, does it, Lawrence? I mean, we have the ability in this ordinance to turn it down, correct?
Correct.
Nothing changes. There's no guarantees. That was the first.
You've never turned down anything, except
first
of all.
Mr. Cole, let me point this out. In the last year, there has been 6 upzonings. You voted in favor of 4 of those.
Well, again, it's my fault, folks. I'm sorry.
It's the truth.
I'm sorry.
I've got the facts. You voted for 4 of the 6 upzonings. This council, with your assistance, created an additional 230 density units. Okay, under this proposal.
I have lost count of what you have proposed. So listen, that's not the issue here today.
One at a time.
Under this proposal, those additional units, Mr. Cole, can I have the floor, would have created over $4 million of funding for conservation, open space, farmland preservation, recreational purposes.
All right. Done?
Yeah.
Mr. Lank.
Sir.
He made it sound like it's my fault that we don't have, you know, some good ordinances here protecting the environment with open space and all these other things. Under the conditional use process and the RPC process that we currently have in place, what's nice about those, if we had a council that really cared, we could put in place in any of these things conditions, right? We can impose conditions. We could have imposed greater setbacks. We have the ability to do that. We don't ever do that. We could have imposed more open space. We could have imposed protecting this, protecting that. This council chose not to. They were in a rush to get the rubber stamp. But under the conditional use application, do we have the ability to protect things today?
Yes.
Under the RPC, do we have the ability to protect things today?
Yes, we do.
Okay. Why haven't we done it? Because they haven't wanted to do it. It's not my fault. I don't need a new ordinance. We got it in place. What you got to have is the right people that want to address these issues, not another giveaway to the developers. $20,000 for a lot in the coastal area near wetlands or near the bay or something like that is ridiculous. So the county's not for sale. It shouldn't be for sale. And all this is another under-the-table little trick to make it sound like he cares. If he cares, look at his voting record or any of them when it comes to greater buffers, setbacks from the wetlands, protecting this, protecting that. There's never any protection. Never.
Mr. Cole, I would hope you'd have a little more respect than all you have to do is just, I mean, all you do is downgrade the rest of the council because we don't care.
Tell me
care,
when you've done
we
it,
don't
Dale.
Care.
Pardon? Tell me when you've protected something. What was the last thing you protected, sir?
May I, Mr.
No,
Tech,
I don't know.
Mr.
No, that's, you know, that's the issue at hand, Dale. The issue is he made it sound like I should be imposing new ordinances. No, we have ordinances now that we can do it.
The will of the council has been not to protect them. So you tell me where I'm wrong in that statement.
This will require those higher standards that you say.
There's no standards in it. There's no definition.
40% open space as opposed to 0% open space.
But anyway,
a 75 foot buffer where there is no buffer now.
Okay.
We can do that today.
Are we ready to move on to public hearing?
I'm trying to get them calmed down a little bit.
I'm done.
Okay. All right. Mr. Cole said he's done. You done, Mr. Phillips?
Yeah, I am done.
All right, we're done our tirade, so.
We do our questions at the end. Do all of our questions.
Yeah, we'll have questions at the end.
I'll get my word.
All right, Mr. Griffin.
Mr. Lake.
Get control of this meeting.
I'm done.
Good.
My name is Dan Kramer, 8041 Scott Store Road, Greenwood, 19950. Now, I tell you what, this is the first one that I can live with one exception. There is a limitation on the amount of houses, right?
It reduces it from 12 to 4, a reduction.
Well, see, that was the mistake.
I know you would have thought we should have gone to
I'm going
to
tell you one thing right now, and I don't give a diddly squat. You guys were up here pitching it about whatever and blaming each other for whatever occurred. Well, right now, how do you say farmland? By higher density.
And we still have...
You can sit there and shake your head all you want to, and you can go on the radio and raise old Cain and tell all the lies you want to, but I'm going to tell you something. The truth still is the truth, and the truth of the matter is, how do you say farmland? And by the way,
higher density. Yeah, and we can still do that with a change of zone HR.
And by the way, setbacks. You got 75-foot setbacks, don't you, in here?
That's a restriction.
All right, that's a restriction. And furthermore, if these guys want to buy it, which kind of puzzles me, and he wants to say, oh, we're selling land for $20,000. No, we're not. You're not selling a thing. The landowner's still selling the land. You guys are just collecting a $20,000 fee for him to have the right to add on more houses. Mm. The problem is you ain't developing it high enough. Because if they're willing to pay for two more houses, why would they be willing to pay for 6 or 8 or 10 more houses?
That's the next ordinance.
Well, then get it done.
We will.
Because I'm going to tell you something. That's how you save land. And that's how then all these pigs that come up to this trough wouldn't need to come up the trough, because guess what? You could dole it out to the pigs in the meantime, right?
Yep.
In the hopes to boot. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Kramer.
Mr. Forney, you had your hand up.
For anybody when he supports something. And Dennis, you support the same thing Dan Kramer does. That's excellent. I'm worried about you.
My name is Dennis Forney. I live 114 School Lane, Lewis, Delaware. Chairman of the Sussex County Land Trust. I want to speak in favor of this ordinance. I think it makes a lot of sense. It's good to see the county taking a proactive stance to try to preserve some open space and do it the right way, which is by compensating people for their property. 25 years ago, Al Stango was mayor of Lewis, and folks came in and bought the fish property, land along Delaware Bay. And they came in and they wanted to have certain of it brought into the county, and they wanted to have certain things done with the lots. And he sat down with developers. He said, okay, I think we can get this all done. What I want is $7,500 per lot to make this all happen for the city of Lewis. Developers said, we can do that. Stango said, let's sign the papers. $2 million later, Lewis had a lot of money in the bank. About 5 years ago, Lewis had $500,000 to spend to help buy the Canal Front Park property on the canal in Lewis. That land will be preserved forever as a public park for anybody who wants to go down and do that. Now, why was the town able to do that? Because it had money. It had foresight. It realized that in order to preserve land, you need to allow development to help leverage the purchase of open space. This ordinance does that. No more extra density for free. No more up zonings for free. If you want to do it, and you can, if you don't like it, George, just turn it down. If you don't like the proposal that comes in, turn it down. But if you do like the proposal that comes in, keep your option open to collect some money to preserve some open space in this beautiful county. I called a friend of mine named Donald McCann. He's a boat surveyor. He lives down on the northern neck of Virginia on the Rappahannock River. He's the chairman of the Planning Commission down there. I sent this ordinance down to him. I said, please read this over. I'm not saying a word about it. Just tell me what you think. So he called me back and says, I think it's a damn good ordinance. He says, this is going to help preserve open space. And I applaud it. I think it makes good sense. It's proactive. It gets things done. It's the right way to proceed. And the other thing that was pointed out, when this money gets in, county council has total control over use of this money. When proposals come forward for the use of this money to buy some property for whatever use is, this county council has to approve by a 4/5 vote the expenditure of that money for the property. So I applaud the direction this is going. I agree that we ought to, the next thing ought to be RPCs. There should be no extra density in this county for free. We're selling ourselves short. People want to be here. It's a beautiful place. Let's preserve it. This is a good tool to get it done. Thank you.
Dennis, what you just said, the property owner would now be compensated for their property or something for the sale. Anyway, this fee doesn't go to the property owner. It would go to the county.
That's correct.
Right. So that was, so they're getting paid no matter what, whether we have this fee in place or not.
Who?
The property owners.
The property owner, all I'm saying is, if you want, no, George, you're mixing up my comment.
Well, you
comment.
Know, you said
that. My comment was that, we believe through the Sussex County Land Trust that the right way to preserve land is to buy it and buy either easements, outright purchases, or things like that, not to try to zone away their rights. In order to do that, you have to have a source of revenue to do that, and this provides a source of revenue.
Right, I agree with that, but okay. It sounded to me like you were making it sound like the property owner was being compensated through this program.
No.
Okay. Mm-hmm. On your Lewis and old Al Stango.
Right.
How do you think Al would have felt if he'd have taken that $75,000?
$7,500 per lot.
Whatever, $7,500 per unit.
Right.
And it was for open space. It wasn't for open space, but it went into their general fund, I believe.
That's correct. Yeah.
And then you alluded it years down the road that they were able to buy something because
That's
they had
correct.
Some money in the bank. But what would you think Al would have thought if that $7,500 that came into the town went to buy open space maybe in Greenwood or Bridgeville or Seaford? Do you think the people of Lewis would have appreciated that? Because this is what's happening. You're taking the... You're telling these people they're going to get additional density. When they moved out of Rehoboth and Lewis and places out in these rural areas near, we talked about a sewer district, Angola, and all along Route 24 is very, in my opinion, still rural. Mm-hmm. And then you start popping in all this additional density, and then you tell these people, yeah, but we're going to get you some open space. How do you think they're going to feel when you tell them the open space is going to be miles and miles away? How does that benefit those people?
It doesn't have to be miles.
Open
miles
space
away.
Is the benefits the populations that are growing. We need the we need the open space near the coastal area.
I'll make a provision that if it happens in that area, we'll keep it in that area.
It should be
maybe something like a proposal.
But this doesn't
George,
do that.
Make a proposal. Say you'd like to amend it to say that whatever 100 that money is generated from, that with the consideration will be to purchase open space in that 100. There's ways to do that, but get the money.
Okay, but once they adopt this in this current format. This is Mr. Phillips's baby. He's been ushering it through. The land use consultants somehow aren't here today. I don't know where they are, but we've got a big process going. This should be part of that, and maybe it could have gone through these public hearings, and maybe we would have ended up where it should be. Mm-hmm. But this isn't where it should be. You ought to exclude the... Tell me how additional density in the environmentally sensitive district is environmentally sensitive. How does that happen?
That's a good question, George.
Shouldn't the environmentally sensitive district maybe be excluded from this proposal?
No, I think an environmentally sensitive district has to have certain provisions attached to it so that the environment is not compromised by the development.
Because
now, instead, George, what you could have happen is that the actual development could actually enhance that environmentally sensitive district if revenues were generated that could go toward, like you said, earlier, reversing that pipe so it doesn't flow closer to the bay, but it flows further away from
Dennis,
the bay.
This
money
matter.
Is a tool, George. You can get things done with it. If you don't have money, you can't get anything done.
You got to look at the historical, how we got to where we are. And there's a lot of people in this county doesn't think the county's done that great a job in land use and open space and all these programs. They're just, it's kind of, you know, it's a hodgepodge. It's really not connected and there's not a flow to it. And this ordinance
This could be a good ordinance if you excluded some things and had some standards, but it doesn't.
Well, you can do that. This is why we have a public hearing.
No, there's no workshop. There's never been a workshop.
Let me point out to you, George.
There's never been an opportunity, Dennis, until a forum like this that I can make my two cents.
I was greatly encouraged a couple months back. There was a public hearing on some provision or that a land use thing or something like that, and I heard you make the comment of does this particular project or this particular land purchase have any connectivity to other things? Now, you know, through the Sussex County Land Trust, we're trying to promote this whole concept of the Grand Preservation Loop that will connect all these properties in the county, probably result in more than 100,000 acres of protected land, which doesn't only just protect the land, it also protects property values, helps keep our economy solid and all that sort of thing. So I was happy to see that. So it's not as much hodgepodge as you think.
It's a grand scheme, but there's also the little schemes where the little communities where people live like to see that same.
Well, that's right. But
they
want
to see the protection. They want to see the open space in their neighborhoods.
And there's no provision that says that doesn't have to happen.
Well, no, where they're in any.
And that could come up, and you could say, I like this proposal here because it keeps closer to this project. I don't like this one, so I'll vote for this one.
I've got to argue this today, what we have
okay, but that's your prerogative. But that's part of your prerogative as a county councilman who has to be part of a 4-5 vote.
Right.
Anyway, I think this is a good step forward.
One question.
Yes, sir.
What percentage of the property that the county's bought that we open space is in the eastern side of the county?
Road,
There's quite a bit. There's a land out on Oyster Rocks Road. We bought the easement rights to the Jack Morris Farm, which is right off of Route 24 in the middle of that area that George is talking about.
Are they in the environmentally sensitive developing district, Lawrence?
Yeah, they were.
Is any of that district west of 24?
Oyster Rock Road
is
not.
No.
But I'm wondering about that Morris Farm because it's on... It is just on the west side of Route 24. And I don't know if
Dennis, if we're struggling to figure it out, obviously there's not a lot. They make it sound like there's a lot. It's questionable how much. And there is maybe, I'm sure there is some.
There is.
There is some.
Sure.
Right.
It's all over the county, and that's, I think people all over the county would like to see land preserved all over the county. That's what we're trying to accomplish.
I think this
gets us moving in that direction.
I want to make sure Mr. Cole knew that it wasn't all on the western side of the county.
Certainly not. And you know that.
But Dale, nobody could really figure out what's in the development district. But that's okay.
A lot of it is what you can afford and where you can get it. So.
Right.
Thank you for the opportunity to speak.
Thank you, Dale.
Mr. Schell.
For the record, my name is Preston Schell. I live at 2 Coventry Road, and I am the vice chairman of the Land Trust and also a developer with Ocean Atlantic. First, I just want to address this ordinance. It's a simplified density trading ordinance. As you guys know, the state's been working on their own density trading ordinance. It's fairly complicated. I was actually part of that group putting together the enabling legislation is what they call it. But if you look at what happens now, speaking as a developer, I go in, there's limited land that's within the growth zones. So that's a whole other issue of, you know, how do we find appropriate areas within the county to allow for more receiving or development land that's possibly not in the environmentally sensitive areas to allow for, you know, more density so we can preserve more open space outside of it. But what happens now is I'll go into a growth zone and I'll go up to the state, I'll get a rosy letter from the state that says, yes, this is where the development's appropriate, this is where we want to sink dollars into infrastructure, we would recommend, or we would, they hardly ever say recommend, we would not oppose an increase in density or the approval of this project by the county. And we'll typically ask for 3 to 4 units per acre. And so we'll go in, and also it complies with the land use plan. The land use plan, the county's land use plan, says that within these growth zones, it's appropriate for higher density. And then we all know higher density development creates more tax dollars while using less because the infrastructure that costs less to service each unit. It's just a more appropriate, better form of land use because you can service more people with fewer acres, thereby preserving over time, particularly if you have money to do so, additional acreage outside in more rural areas. So what happens now is I go in there and I get it for free. So financially, this ordinance for developers, now I'm speaking as a developer now, not on behalf of the land trust, actually hurts us. We would just assume continue to come in here. And with a great land use attorney, with the state support, complying with the land use plan, we typically get 3 to 4 units per acre. and upzone an Area 1 land to a higher density. Now, with this ordinance, and also developers just want to know what their deal is. People always say, oh, developers, this develop. Developers will pay the impact fee, or they'll pay the $15,000 or $20,000 per unit. We just want to know, going into a property or going into contracting on something, what the costs associated with developing this property are. What often happens is we get into something, we're way into it financially, and then we find out that DelDOT's going to make us redo an intersection, or someone's going to make us redo something, and we have to factor that into our costs kind of after the fact, and that's what hurts. But if something like this passed to raise money for open space, I think it'd be a great thing. And I can't understand, you know, George, it's really easy to sit there and say no to everything. I mean,
you say no to
conservation, you say no to open space, you say no to development. But the way to reach consensus, the way to be an effective politician is to try to get these guys on your side rather than ostracizing them in every single meeting and just saying, just alienating them. Why don't you propose? Do you agree that we need some kind of financial means to preserve more open space in rural areas? Would you agree to that statement?
It's my fault. It's my fault.
I'm not saying it's your fault, George. I'm saying propose something. If you don't like it, actually take action and be proactive as opposed to sitting there as a storm of negativity just saying no to everything that happens.
We have the ability to do this today, to protect all you want, and we have enough information out there telling us what to protect.
Then propose something.
Mr. Lang just got done telling you, through the RPC and the conditional use, we could have been protecting. We could have had a tradition here of protecting. We have not. So don't make it sound like we need another ordinance. I thought you guys don't want more ordinances and more regulations and more.
We
want
to know what the deal is. We like ordinances because we know what we got.
We have the ability to do it.
Right.
We have the ability to do it. There's been no consensus to do it. So how am I going to change the consensus of people who haven't wanted to do it?
They're wanting to do it right now. That's what this whole thing's about.
Let me ask you this. I remember I sat on when this all started with your Sussex County Land Trust group. And all I heard about is how the developers were stepping up to the table with money. Every time, whether it be a lot approved, there'd be X amount of dollars pouring into this thing. And the developers are going to, you know, do all this land preservation. Now you're back to the county again. We had to throw in $1 million to get it started.
This money's not coming out of the county. This money's actually coming out of the developers.
You're back again because the developers aren't ponying up like you said they would be, or like you thought they would
be. I'm going to take exception to that because the developers have ponied up. We've raised well in excess of $1 million from private interests, and we all know that we go out there and raise money for Boys and Girls Clubs, and we get checks for, you know, $1,000 or $3,000. That's a lot of money.
You're back to the county to try to save this program.
It is nice, and I would agree with you that we would prefer if every developer stepped up and did this voluntarily. George, you know well enough that half the developers out there don't give a damn about what happens to this area in the long run. They're from out of town. They're going to fly in here. They're going to develop what they want to develop and get out of here. The greatest thing about this ordinance is now we can take advantage of those developers as well. This money's not coming out of farmers' pockets. This money's going back into farmers' pockets.
Gentlemen, I'm hesitant to interrupt, but let me remind you that this is a public hearing. It's not a debate.
Good theater, though.
So,
he directed something at me. I'm sorry.
What I think we should be hearing is what the speakers think about this ordinance.
I'll try to summarize that in 30 seconds or less.
Good job.
And not direct my attention to anybody individually.
Thank you.
I think it's a great ordinance. Both, I think it raises money for open space. It only applies to development districts. Obviously, if this ordinance said anywhere in the county, which you can develop in right now by right, you can go out and seek this extra density, it'd be a poor ordinance. But what it's essentially doing is it's saying, okay, developer A, if you want to go develop 100 acres inside of a development district, you can do that. And typically, you're going to hire a great land use attorney and make a strong argument based on the comprehensive land use plan of the county and the state's support as to why your property should be upzoned. I think it's appropriate that a developer should pay for that. Now, I'd love for every developer to step up, as Ocean Atlantic does, and say, we're going to give 0.5% of gross sales in every one of our projects. But guess what? That's unrealistic. It's never going to happen. So this is a great ordinance for that reason. It's simple. We can develop something, and we can take the state's assistance, which I think the state program that they're proposing, by the way, is also good. But it's complicated. People won't understand it. If you come in front of this council with a very complicated, with a bunch of what-ifs and, well, if this happens, that happens, types of scenarios, it's never going to pass. The beautiful thing about this is it's simple, it's understandable, developers understand it, the farmers will understand it, and we'll know what the deal is, and it's not hurting anybody. You can argue, someone can say, oh yeah, but it's upzoning land inside development districts. We're doing that anyway, and quite frankly, that's the appropriate thing to do. So for someone to say, well, I thought the land outside my home in a development district would be developed at 2 units per acre or less, they really just need to look at the history of what types of densities are typically proposed in a development district and what we're getting generally passed, and also what's appropriate from a land use standpoint. But that's my point, and I think this ordinance is great.
Thank you. Thank you. Mr. Ford, next. We'll get you next. Everybody will have an opportunity to speak. Will this be read into the record, Mr. Ford?
Yes.
Okay.
Tom Ford, live in Byard, Delaware, and I'm in favor of the initial ordinance that is approved and its concept for the density trade. It puts forth a solid method and approach of enhancing livable Delaware and the Sussex County Comprehensive Land Use Plan's primary objectives, such as steering growth toward development areas where adequate, and that's key, where adequate infrastructure exists or is imminent. It's not a roughshod ordinance that allows this particular circumstances to be used everywhere. It's where there is adequate infrastructure. And the key to achieving 4 units of the acres is that infrastructure. It makes sense to me that if the sewer and water can support 4 units to the acre and the land plan can geometrically fit 4 units to the acre, then this ordinance is an appropriate vehicle for accomplishing such, along with a major caveat. And that caveat is for the people of Sussex County to actually get open space or recreational benefits, either passive or active. I'm in favor of the amended ordinance, whereas it doesn't limit or discriminate against the type of housing that may be sought. I would ask, and I am amazed at how much we are on the same page with Dennis Forney and Preston and speakers before me, but I would ask that the funds generated be used in a close proximity to the areas where the development occurs when feasible. And the only question about when feasible is if the land's not there, it's not there. But I, from an environmental standpoint, would like it to be used within the watersheds that are that would be defined, and that those funds, wherever those the density is, that watershed is protected by open space. So you have an increased density within the watershed. You've just merely altered the density and concentrated it where infrastructure is and bought land where infrastructure isn't. But it still would all environmentally dovetail together so that that watershed has an increased density. And yet the county has benefited by it, and so has the community, because funds are available to be used within that watershed. Approval of this amended ordinance will minimize the current practice of seeking zoning changes in development areas where the pattern of development would be appropriate for such. And there is many areas that are in the environmentally sensitive development area with a pattern of development where infrastructure is there, where there is sewer and water. And even though the state might call it level 4, it's obvious is set up for a zoning change. This particular ordinance would allow the county to benefit, the community to benefit, and allow for that increased density that would be allowed in that area. I got to note that a zoning change wouldn't be a source of additional funding, nor would it benefit the public with open space and recreational facilities that this amended ordinance would do. And the benefits of zoning changes versus density trade, the difference is that the amendment ensures more benefit and protection to the community at large. Additional requirements, two things are happening in this ordinance. One is there's additional open space on the actual site that's being developed. Two, it provides significant source of funds for the county to buy off-site open space where they deem appropriate. And a big item to me is it's an efficient use of the existing or proposed sewer capacity that for years has been designed for 4 units to the acre. And from an environmental standpoint, I think efficiency is very important. When you dig up the earth and you put in the sewer and you're only servicing 2 units to the acre, to me that's not efficient. I'd like to see more density where there is infrastructure, and this ordinance gets us there.
Can you define adequate infrastructure? You talked about where it's appropriate to do these things when it's got adequate infrastructure. What would that be?
Sewer, water primarily.
That's it?
No, DelDOT would weigh in on roads.
Sounds pretty important, DelDOT, right? And schools?
Schools would have to be accommodated.
So, because in the past, all we've looked at is sewer. And so you're saying adequate infrastructure. We should make sure that there's roads, that the traffic can handle the traffic, schools can handle it, and sewer and water. Okay. And then you also said you support this as a concept. Unfortunately, what we're talking about is an ordinance, and it's going to be a law. So if you don't like, or some things you'd like to see change, like you said, watershed, which makes a good point. We've talked about that before. Makes a lot of sense. There's no definitions, Tom, in here about, you know, what is open space and when this 40%, you know, what falls into that category. There's a lot of things open. I know what you think is open space, he might think is different. They all might. So I don't know what the heck to believe here. So, and in the existing sewer capacity, I've been here since the sewer started, and I can remember when they laid out South Coastal and they laid out the outfall. Outfall was designed to handle the density as it was and the zoning category. So in AR, they computed 2 units to the acre and whatever. And over the years, we've increased all that density. So we're going to get to a point where our sewer outfall will not be able to handle it. And I don't know if the sewer studies actually really did take into consideration that the whole development district was going to be 4 units to the acre.
George, I can't debate you on the exact figures they had, but also during that same period, we had 18 units to the acre. There's many developments along the coast at 18 units to the acre during the same period the outfall was constructed.
Well, that's why I'm saying. I think the council has been, in the past, we've been very generous, and we're going to look up that we're going to be, somebody's going to be cut short because we've been adding densities. We've allowed the town of Millville to
We've only density. Added densities in certain areas.
Our studies never provided for that kind of sewer capacity, but yet we're giving out this capacity.
We reduced significantly densities in areas that I think were the sewer was being provided for.
Well, I don't know about that.
I could click off a slew of developments along the coast that are 18 units per acre. And we no longer have those kinds of developments.
We can't do that. It's been how long, Lawrence, since an 18 unit per acre development?
10 years.
Permitted. More than that. Huh?
We did 12 about 2 years ago that Mr. Cole voted for.
And that outfall.
Oh, here it's my fault again, my God. What would you guys do without me?
Well, if you weren't such a hypocrite, we wouldn't have.
The outfall was developed over 20 years ago.
Every group needs a boogeyman, I guess.
You voted for 4 of the 6 upzonings in the last year, but yet you exhibit horror at this ordinance.
It's called when sometimes it's appropriate, you vote. But the trouble with you guys, it's you voted for.
Nothing changes.
You have voted for every one of those.
You voted for 4
and more.
Six.
Never mind. It's my fault. I'm sorry.
Are you done, Mr. Ford?
I am so sorry.
I apologize that we sort of got out of hand.
I think he was done.
I think.
Thank you. Anyone else? Bono?
How do you guys do this every year? It's my fault.
Why do you vote for
upset? Yeah, blame someone.
Council, it's nice to be back here again.
Good seeing you.
Well,
could you put your name and address on the
record? Oh, I'm sorry. My name is Sonny Bono. I live in the town of Lincoln. 19937 Fleetown Road. I'm sitting here listening to what's going on, and I'm listening to the speakers that preceded me, and I'm saying, you know, this council was a safeguard for the people of Lincoln, because Lincoln right now is not, besides we're fighting DelDOT to destroy our town before it can even get started, the town above us is annexing land like crazy because Lincoln is AR1. And I know for a fact that 500 acres is under contract in Lincoln. Multi-million dollar. You possibly know who I'm talking about. The town north of us told the buyer, because they wanted to be annexed again into the town above us. And they were told, go to Sussex County and see what they offer you. And if you don't like what they offer you, come back and see us. because we have R3 rating, which allows up to 16 units per acre.
Is this somehow going to address this ordinance?
Yes, yes. No, people do not understand.
So this is your windup.
No. People do not understand that Lincoln, all single family homes, when land from 19960 postal zone is taken from us and put to the town north of us, in return, our neighbors and our residents are looking at 3 to 4 story condos in their backyards. So high density, no, it's a killer because it brings other diseases to the people that are trying to live in this state, which is, you know, in Delaware, because they chose and it was single family homes. Now, get to the point. We were happy that Sussex County had different rules pertaining to high density. So we knew that behind us, there's other towns south of us that can also annex part of Lincoln to high density, you know, not to high density, because the present rule say, you know, Sussex County states X number of units per acre. We were very happy with that because we're facing to the north a big problem. In fact, the big problem now is the town north of us has changed their land comprehensive plan, and they got the okay from the state to go over Highway 1 east to develop. Now they're going to the beach, Slaughter Beach. They got the people in Slaughter Beach going crazy because Slaughter Beach don't want high density. So this high density here, for the protection, I mean, we're looking for the protection of our residents in Lincoln. I mean, how do we get protected? I mean, we're being raided because you want to have a higher density, but when unincorporated land borders a town that's incorporated, all a developer got to do is buy the land, go to the town north and say, I want to be annexed. Oh, by the way, will you give me 12 to 16 units per acre? The town says, yeah, because that's the precedent they've been doing for the past 2 years.
Mr. Bono, do you understand that this ordinance actually reduces the potential density?
Well, I'm looking at the word an increase of density.
Any increase in density?
Yes.
They'll pay for it.
The point is, Mr. Bono, right now our code allows for up to 12 units per acre. This caps it at 4 units per acre.
Okay, but Mike... Okay.
As I mentioned earlier, in the last year alone, the council has increased density by 230 units with no compensation back to the public. Is this ordinance?
No, I understand. I understand what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. Land preservation is fine, but
I'm just concerned that perception has been perverted. And
well,
this ordinance actually reduces the potential density. It actually increases the required open space. It actually creates a 75-foot forested buffer along the roadway so folks don't see the development.
Well, we don't
see. And it requires the developer, rather than getting those 230 units for free, as they have in the last year, they're going to have to pay into a conservation fund that can help preserve some.
Okay, now, my question is, I would love to see low density for our residents in Lincoln. But
this is a step in the right direction.
Okay, but the question that I have is that you have a town north of us that wants the developers to come in, and they're saying, come on into our town, and we'll give you 12 to 16 units per acre.
You can't control the town.
We have nothing to do with towns.
But
they can annex, they can do what they want to do.
Okay, but see, we're at the mercy. Any unincorporated town is at the mercy for developers because they can go into a town and say, well, we could care less about Sussex County because we can go in your town and we can get more high-density housing, and they're proving it today. So for towns like us, where's our protection?
Mr. Bono, I would think that if your town, which is unincorporated, wants protection, they would have the right under Delaware law to petition the legislature to incorporate the town. Then you could control what happens within the town.
And we'll give you up.
I'm fearful when I see the word high density. Believe me, the hairs on my back go up because we're living it.
4 units per acre is not high when you compare it to the example you gave, which was 16 per acre.
That's what we're living with north of us.
Why not try to incorporate your unincorporated little community?
They could.
That's something you need to address to the legislature, not to us.
Well, Mr. Griffin, I'm even trying that, believe me. And I'm, you know, it's a mountain taller than Mount Everest for me to climb. So I know where you're coming from. But again, I'm trying my best, singular or plural, to help protect our residents in Lincoln. And I just hear the word high density and it scares me to death.
Well, may we assume that if we're talking about maximum of 4 units per acre and they would have to pay for 2 of those, that you're against or in favor of it?
Okay, but how is this ordinance going to benefit the town of Lincoln in Sussex County?
Well, Lincoln's probably not in the growth zone.
I think it is. I've seen many a map.
Would you, Lawrence? That's a good. Go get the map so we can all know what we're talking about, please.
Lawrence
should have one.
You know,
huh?
Is Lincoln in a growth zone?
No, we need a map. We need a map.
It's close to the Melford growth area.
That's not in the growth zone.
It's outside Melford.
Lawrence, before you go,
we'll have Mr. Lang address that.
But again, if you can understand where I'm coming from, sitting here. And I hear the word high density. I'm sorry, I have to get up here and.
It's not on the paper, so I don't know where you heard it.
Mr. Lang just said it's not in the growth zone, so let me explain to you what this does. This actually prohibits any conditional use for multifamily homes in Lincoln, because as of now, the code allows for a developer to come in here and request high density multifamily homes with 0% open space anywhere in the county. This ordinance actually restricts it just to the growth zones. This closes the loophole that I think you're concerned about.
No, it doesn't.
Well, see, this
it's not in the growth zone, I don't think.
No. They can still go ask for an RPC.
Well, that's
they can
the
still
only
go
way.
Around. We still they can still do it.
They'd have to. The only way they could do it would be an RPC or a change of zone.
But again, I say the same thing. What's the protection for our little town and, you know?
Yes, this provides you the protection from a conditional use, which would increase density. This restricts increased density in AR1 zones for a conditional use.
But see, I'm not saying that because we got that little town, a big town north of us that's grabbing us.
Well,
and
that's not our concern.
Okay, but no, I'm looking at...
Mr. Vono, this ordinance addresses the entire county. It impacts more than just Lincoln, but I share some of your concerns, but it's a bigger issue, and I think we ought to be looking at it. How does it, you know, affect the entire county?
That's
not just and not
that,
focus so much on just
that's
Lincoln.
What I'm trying to find out. How does I mean, we're in Sussex County, okay, and how does it protect us? That's
for the
my
third
question.
Time, Mr. Bono.
It don't.
He doesn't understand.
I
or
do.
He chooses not to point out what is obvious.
Who do I believe? Mr. Cole says it does.
Well, I'll verify
and you say,
whatever
and you
I
say,
say
it,
Mr. Bono.
Mr. Lang.
Folks, Mr. Lang, can you please step up?
His point here is.
I know.
He wants to point. He wants to us to protect him from Melford annexing him is what you're after.
I would love to.
That's not part of this deal here, but listen to what they're saying down there. But what you're after is to stop Melford from being able to annex you. Which we don't have control of that, but it's outside
he's
their growth.
He's concerned about high density.
Yes, okay. That's what I'm concerned about, high density.
Only if Melford annexes you, that's what
right.
You're talking about. You think they're going to gobble you up.
As of today, Mr. Lank, can a developer come in here?
Can I say something, really? In case you want to know, we were already told that should the buyer of a certain property in 19960 be annexed into Milford, we are going to be facing on that same 500 acres minimum 1,700 condos from a farm.
Okay,
1,700 condos?
But that has nothing to do with the county because we cannot stop annexation.
But isn't that in Sussex County?
It's not in the county. It's in the county, but it's not in our jurisdiction because it's
in Melford's in Sussex County.
But again, I see high density.
There are some other folks who would like to.
I know. I'm just saying, I see high density here, and we're living it big time, and I don't want to see any
more.
Thank
you. We got the point.
Thank you.
Mr. Lang, in Lincoln, considering Lincoln's not in the growth zone, correct?
Lincoln proper, what I'll call proper, because it's not incorporated. It has a boundary as a subdivision, basically itself, is not in a growth zone, but it's totally surrounded to the north. West and east, north of Route 207 Johnson Road.
Okay, so considering it's not in a growth zone, under the catch-all phrase in our conditional use today, what is the maximum density a developer could ask for in Lincoln?
They could. You mean as a conditional use?
Yes.
They could ask for 12.
And with this ordinance passed as it is,
right?
With this ordinance passed as it is, what would be the most they could ask for?
4.
It's not in a growth zone, doesn't it? Close off.
No, I wouldn't be allowed to apply for it.
Excuse me?
But it depends on where the area is. You see what they're talking about? You can't barely see it because of the size of the map, but there's a little area which has got the road showing on the area of Lincoln.
That's the village.
It runs from 113 to the Marshall Street.
Marshall Street.
So it does, regardless.
That area is in the AR low density.
Right. Okay.
The area to the north of what I'm going to call 207 right. Johnson Road, and then out to, I think it's called Wilkins Road. That area is in the growth zone for the town mill.
So regardless of it, of either of those locations, it reduces the potential applicant's density from 12 to no more than 4.
Right.
Okay. Unless they apply for an RPC.
We're talking about this
one. Unless they apply for an RPC, they could put townhouses in there.
That would have to be addressed by another ordinance.
But then, well, I know. I'm just saying they can do it. Even you adopt
we're
this.
We're talking about this ordinance.
But the RPC is based on the density of the zone that it's involved in. So if it's AR RPC, it's 2. If it's AR or MR RPC, it could be 4.
Thank you.
Your turn.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Wendy Baker. I'm president and CEO of the Sussex County Land Trust, and I live in Bethany Beach, Delaware. I've rewritten my speech this morning about 15 times based on what everybody else has said, so I apologize if I do skip around. We believe this multifamily ordinance can further our conservation initiatives. On June the 8th, the SCLT board held a special meeting to discuss this ordinance. I was asked at that time to appear to inform you of our support. Just like the similar cluster ordinance passed in January of 2006, whereby we are the recommending organization to the county for the pledged funds, we would also accept the same responsibility should you decide to pass this ordinance today. Again, I'm here to express SCLT support of this ordinance as a means of supplementary revenue stream, which is very much needed given the county's participation is based on a budget surplus. A revenue mechanism is needed to ensure we can continue this valuable partnership. I'm not actually here to debate the ordinance, its wording, council decisions. I'm here on behalf of the board to say that we do support a funding for conservation. My testimony at the planning and zoning hearing last week should be made a part of this record. I do not want to repeat what was said by fellow SCLT board members, but I do want to add that, Mr. Cole, to date, we have raised approximately $3.5 million in pledged funds from developers. Just to give you an example, but certainly not limited to just these folks, $1,000 per unit at the peninsula is pledged towards conservation. $500 per unit at Bayside is pledged to SCLT for conservation. Ocean Atlantic pledges a half of 1% of the gross proceeds. RDM gives $500 per unit. Caldera has also pledged funds as well as Rubino. And if you would like to sit down and go over the pledge funds, I would be happy to give you a full
pledges
list.
Pledges mean you don't really have it, they're just promising it.
Well, we've been collecting it. No, pledge means what they are going to do when they...
So you have the $3.5 million? You said it's been pledged. You have that?
As I explained just a few seconds ago, they pledge money per unit. So, for example, when the peninsula has settlements, I get a FedEx package. They have receipt of signatures.
So with all the development, you've got about 4 or 5 subdivisions that do provide you some funding?
Actually, not 4 or 5. I would be happy to sit down and give you the complete list.
I'm kind of familiar with it, but you don't have the $3.5 million. You got it in pledges.
It's an ongoing collection.
How much have you received to date since you've been in from developers, just developers?
I would say to date, probably half of that, but we just had a lot of settlements that came in, and they do pledge and they do send it to me on a per unit basis.
And how many years has the Sussex County Land Trust been in existence?
September of 2001.
So since 2001, you've gotten $1.5 million from the developers?
I would say yes. Another $1.5 million in pledged funds.
Doesn't sound real good, does it? You can't buy much with $1.5 million.
Well, that's why we need this ordinance. Then we would have had over $4 million.
The developers were stepping up to the plate because they felt so guilty.
We can't trust developers. We've got to pass this ordinance to require them to pay.
You trust them?
We've got to require them to pay, and that's why this ordinance is good.
Wendy, would you quit making so much trouble.
Were you finished yet?
No, I actually was not.
Continue
then,
please.
Go ahead.
Thank you. To show you the areas that we're targeting, because there was discussion earlier as well as to what properties have been preserved and where our target areas, I have a copy of our land grand preservation loop map that I'd like to give out to everyone.
We'll pass it that for you.
In closing, we believe that for all that nature gives us, we need to do our part in giving something back, and this ordinance provides a means for those whose livelihood is dependent on building and real estate in Sussex County to do just that. On behalf of our trustees, we thank you for considering this ordinance and the positive benefits towards open space preservation it can help to achieve. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you. Is there anyone else who would like to be recognized? I know we have quite a few folks here. If there's someone I can't see because of that... Pardon me?
Anything.
Well, for or against. That's what it's about. Well, give us your name and your address and make your statement.
My name is Bob McGurl. I live in Pine Water Farm, which is the Harbison Post Office District. And I'm against allowing multifamily homes in the AR1 environmentally sensitive area. It seems to the public like 80% of this council approves every development that meets the building code. When the code was revised in 2006 to allow cluster developments, 90% of applications for large developments were all the denser, more popular cluster type. Allowing multifamily homes in AR1 growth areas means that multifamily developments will become the norm, despite the fact that they are not appropriate for all areas of the land east of Route 24. To protect the current homeowners in this environmentally sensitive area, is it essential that multifamily structures be restricted to areas where the required infrastructure is in place or planned, and where the area meets the criteria of a developing town center? The current procedure of rezoning AR1 to MR1 for the construction of multifamily housing, when this type of construction is appropriate for the area, should be maintained as the correct procedure for this type of growth. The Pine Water Civic Association, representing 98 families in Pine Water Neck, requests that this ordinance be rejected or rewritten to protect the environmentally sensitive area east of Route 24. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Any questions?
Thank you. Someone else had their hand up.
You oppose it.
Was there anyone else back there who wanted to be heard? If so, just come forward. Is there somebody right there, Lawrence?
That guy down now, George.
Yes, my name is Mike Dominguez. I live in Pine Water Farm also, Harbison Post Office. I am against this for several reasons. I have 30 years experience with coastal engineering, and I believe we should, to increase density, you have to have the infrastructure, whereas right now BB Hospital is basically at full capacity. Our roads, as we know, are not being addressed by DelDOT. They don't have the funds. The way this is written, I understand I'm for conservancy for land and so forth for our county, but I think a lot of citizens are concerned that with this money, it will not be purchased in the areas that they're building. It's a lot cheaper to buy land out west, and of course everybody wants to be closer to the beach. I think that's a big concern that everybody has of where this land would be purchased. And so as it is written right now, I am against it.
Can I ask you some questions?
Yes.
Okay. Do you understand that currently this council is increasing density on lands in this county in the environmentally sensitive developing area without the developers having to pay anything into the county's fund. Okay.
I do understand that.
Do you agree that if the council starts charging for that increased density, whether you want increased or not, do you think the concept of making them pay is a good one?
Yes, sir, I do.
Okay.
But I think there's a better way of doing it than trading off on density. I mean, you know, I think it could be written a little bit better to protect the citizens of Sussex County than what it is written now. I mean, I understand what you're saying. You're saying you're reducing the density, but if you're changing from AR1 to MR1, how is that reducing?
Okay. One of the reasons that I've taken this whole concept of making developers pay for increased density incrementally is because of the complexity of the concept. This ordinance only applies to conditional use applications, and conditional use applications gives this council, one, the ability to deny. There's no guarantees in this ordinance, if passed as it's written, that they're going to get any increased density or even the application approved with no increased density. They take a big risk because it's a conditional use. And the second thing is, this council has the ability to modify that ordinance to meet the satisfaction of the public, DelDOT, of Denver. Also, I think it's important to recognize that currently, developer can come in with a conditional use application and get 12 units per acre, or at least ask for it. Getting it is a different story.
Correct.
This caps it at 4 units per acre, and only if there is the capacity to service that development. This ordinance requires a 40% open space, as opposed to the existing process, which is zero. This ordinance requires a 75-foot buffer along the roadway, whereas the existing ordinance doesn't require any buffer.
We've heard that. We've heard all of this, and I understand that. But again, you do not have definition of open space. You do not.
We do have definition.
We have an ordinance.
The definition of open space is unsubdivided land without physical structures on it. Now, it may not be the definition that you
that is. I would. I apologize not being prepared for this meeting, but I would go under the Nature Conservancy and look at their definition of open space.
Again,
roadways are not open space. That's drainage.
That's
runoff.
They're not considered open space.
Okay. But retention ponds are not open space.
As of right now, we don't require any open space. So I guess my point is, excuse me, Mr. Colwitz, this is a baby step in the right direction.
I beg to differ on that one, but
you think we should continue to give away density?
Do not. I just think this could be written a little bit better.
Considering the environment that we are operating in, that's exactly what we're doing. In fact, the 20% that you reference as some kind of a beacon for preservation voted for 4 of the 6 upzonings in the last year. So, I mean, the perception that you have.
That was Mr. McGurl speaking on that.
I'm sorry.
Anyway, like I said, not going to get anywhere.
I'll quickly ask you something. It's gotten down to selling density for a fee versus impact fees.
No, versus giving it away.
No, we could adopt impact fees so that all this development come in. We get the same amount of money. We could direct that money to open space. They've had the ability to do that all these years. They don't want to do that. So the other thing is we can do all this. Right now we have flexibility built into our ordinances and the RPCs and the conditional uses. We have flexibility. You have to have the people sitting on this side of the table that want to protect something. Not that he sounds like his hands are tied back here. He can't do anything. It's unbelievable what I'm hearing, that it's these slick lawyers that are doing it.
Why don't we let this public hearing go forward?
But impact fees is
the same thing.
It's the same thing, but you don't have to increase the density.
We're arguing with somebody from the public. We shouldn't be doing that.
Yeah, just take your time before jumping in on something and really.
That's why we have public hearings.
That's right.
We finished this today. The Planning and Zoning Commission has not made a recommendation as of yet. So I'm hoping when we defer today, we leave the public record open. And you can submit your comments and your suggestions for changes to us after today. So
okay.
Keep that in mind to try to get that to us.
Mr. Rogers, thank you.
One question. You said you were opposed to, didn't know where the money would go to buy the open space. And I agree, maybe we should have something in the ordinance would say that the open space money would be spent in a circumference or somewhere.
Designated area.
If we could define, you know, so close to where the money was appropriated.
That would be even a better solution because, again, you know, the instinct of buying open space is, you know, you build where people want to be, which in Sussex is the east side.
Yeah.
And land's expensive to purchase.
Let me ask you one final question. So if we did that, would you support it?
I'd consider it.
Okay, thank you.
Make sure you get your
outsmarted you there, Dale.
No, I was hoping he would. Okay. I think he's outsmarted you there. That shows he's got common sense.
Opposed to others.
Trying to trick him.
Dominguez, DOMINGUEZ.
Good afternoon. My name is Mary Ann Scott, and I live in Pinewater Farm in Harbison. I have a different thought regarding the density change. And my thought is, I am a retired nurse, and if I was not retired, I would be living and working in Sussex County, trying to get to BB Hospital or Nanticoke. My point is for the difference between single-family homes and townhouses, which have been attractive to people who use them as vacation homes. Recently, I attended a forum sponsored by the League of Women Voters, who I have belonged to simply because it's not Democrat and it's Republican, but it's more good citizenship. The most impressive speaker that day was not from Delaware Housing Authority, not from the real estate person, but a man from Trinity Transport who represented a coalition of employers in Sussex County who have employees who cannot find
housing
for persons.
Right.
Now, my point is that as a nurse, a police person, EMT, whoever, where are they going to live in Sussex County? I myself came from Philadelphia area, and South Philly had a lot of row homes. North Philly had a lot of row homes. People did use them as starter homes, which these townhouses, townhome types, remind me of. But my question is, why are we going to increase from single-family homes, which an ordinary working person would like to have for their family to live and work in Sussex County? Now, the big community that was proposed by Mr. Schell that is encompassing our neighborhood is the clusters, single-family homes, and the townhomes that they would like to put on, you know, our side in the environmentally sensitive area, that they would have a separate but equal swimming pool, even though they're going to pay for the entire amount for the pond, for the other swimming pool, because it's one community. My thing is, I do not understand why it is the employers of Sussex County are trying to find affordable housing for the people who live here. I can tell you right now, on 24, ambulances cannot get to the ER. If we, any of us, I'm 67, okay, have a heart attack or a stroke, there's the 1 hour limit that they prefer that you get to the ER. And I really follow everything because now my own health care is in the hands of BB, you know, for emergencies, that they cannot get. If you require anything from the developers, I would like to see the developers pay for roads.
They do.
More. You know, they do pay for the roads, the density, all this kind of stuff. I mean, we've already gone to 4.
Now, we have 3/4 acre, which we chose and saved for. And so there would be 3 houses on my land. And to me, I mean, I don't know where a nurse, the man from Trinity Transport and the real estate person did say there are 3 police officers living in a house sharing it. Mm-hmm. School teachers have to find some place to live. Now, this is our children. My children and your children have to find some place to live after May 15th or June the 1st, because they're living in the places that people get $5,000 a month for. So here's our school teachers, our police persons, our nurses who have, and truthfully, the houses that are going up that start at $300,000 are not for the people that I work for. And I just think we need housing. We need single family homes.
But what are you saying, trying to get to a roundabout way, that the density that's purchased, if the ordinance went through, if they're allowed additional units, it should be for moderately priced housing units? Is that
what
you're saying?
I mean, all the places are not.
You're saying, right? You're saying if they're allowed extra density, it should be for that.
Single family homes are not available. And you're saying that the developers are paying. Let them pay. I mean, I agree with that concept, but they aren't paying for the schools, the hospital use, the roads, because I tell you something, you cannot even get anywhere. The teachers, where are they going to live? They're going to live in Laurel and teach in Oak Orchard. Maybe they'll be able to find a home there, but why could they not pay? I agree with you. It would be nice if the developers paid more, because obviously if someone's going to put 1,700 units above Milford, they're not thinking of the schools. They're thinking of people coming here to vacation. What I'm saying is if I was 47 instead of 67, where would I live? My husband and I are both professionals, but where would we at that level live in order to take care of us?
You make a very good point. In fact, this council passed a moderately priced housing initiative
last year. Affordable housing.
500 units are on the table. Unfortunately, DelDOT has them kind of gummed up right now. We're hoping that we can get them on through so that we can start providing some of those affordable elements. As far as the roads and the schools and things, we can only handle what we're given the authority to handle. DelDOT has the authority to do those kinds of things that you want. You know,
and the council has no say on that?
Absolutely not.
Correct. DelDOT is the authority on roads. DENREC is the...
And the developers never have to pay extra because there's 367 people coming out on 24?
Oh, yeah.
They have to put a light in or something like
now
that.
Now, what they don't have is what I'm trying to put here. It's something in a form that everybody understands. Right now, it's more of a negotiation process. Developer wants it. They go sit down with DelDOT. You know, there's a little air of extortion going on. If you don't give us $10 million to fix this road up to this intersection, we may not approve it. This is a formula that everybody understands. I think DelDOT and the other state agencies need to do the same thing. And, but, you know, it's a debate for another body on another day.
Ma'am, Lawrence, give us a little quick synopsis of how many units are already approved.
In the county.
In the county. Yeah, just in the, you can just say in the whole county if you can, off the top of your head.
Yeah.
How many? Oh, sorry.
Can't say how many are approved. About a, take an annual report and come up with the numbers, but
roughly, I mean,
over 20,000 vacant parcels in the county
that have been approved. Okay, so we got about
not necessarily approved. But
okay,
existing vacant parcels.
We got about 20,000. Now I know down Route 26, we got I don't know a couple thousand. We got 54 has got a bunch, 24. With this, if we adopt this ordinance today, that only catches new subdivisions that come in front of us. We're going to collect a little bit of money. We've got 20,000 plus all this other stuff that you know we've approved and things. Okay, if we had an impact fee, that would collect from those 20,000 as they develop. Like if we had an impact fee for every new house constructed, and then we would catch up and get some money into the coffers.
But what he's doing is there's going to be all this large number of units that are going to be built that we've approved, this council has approved, that will be escaping any kind of fee structure. If we want to get the developers to pay, the fairest way, and what most communities do, you don't find most communities taking this approach. What you try to do is catch everybody up. And if you catch everybody up, you do it through impact fees. So we ought to be looking at an impact fee. Then we don't have to worry about increasing density. What has happened here, ma'am, the solution to all our problems is give the developer additional density and we'll get, you know, solutions. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work. We got traffic problems in coastal Sussex County that aren't going to be resolved in anybody's lifetime in this room. And we're adding to it. Now we're adding more additional density in the environmentally sensitive district. And will it be approving it because there's a fee? Now, he said it's going to be a low risk or high risk when a guy comes in here and asks for a new subdivision and he's willing to pay. That's going to be a high risk because he might be told no. Over 90% of the applications get approved.
Mr. Cole, let's hear what the public has to say.
It's a very good point. The fact is Mr. Cole was approved higher density four times in the last year.
I'm not interested
in the inter-county stuff.
Thank you.
But what I am interested in is, I mean, I live by the creek, Herring Creek.
Right.
And so you're not going to tell me the 367 new places that drain into that creek are not going to affect us. We have two people, volunteers, who work with the University of Delaware, who go out once a week, whatever, take the water sample, take it over there. Whatever, the oxygen level, I mean, hopefully it'll never be like Arnell Creek. I mean, we're are addressing it. You know, that's the whole thing. And it is hard
to... You do understand that this reduces the potential density. I hate to beat a dead horse, but it is as if it's been confused
somehow. Well,
it is
not, I mean, are not four houses per acre enough density?
Right now we can do 12. I mean, this is a step in the direction that you want us to go.
Well, I have the whole thing of how you can approve this and how you can approve that. I mean, I can't even imagine 12 acres.
Especially in an area like what you've got this community next to you that's got this approval. Now, you can imagine, he's saying 12 units of the acre could be there. Well, you know, this council's never done anything like that, and never probably will.
Mr. Diggs just pointed out you voted for 12 units per acre just 2 years ago. Oh, so don't misrepresent the fact.
You've
got
to look at the situation.
You want to spin this.
Do I keep you awake at night,
no,
you poor little thing?
This is a public hearing. I'm reminding you again.
You got to get over me.
You're going to think us people in Pine Water Farm are crazy or something. I'm also from Pine Water Farm. Arthur Brown, 32 Pine Water Drive. Now, I've heard people say up here several times, 4 units per acre. And the way I'm reading this, in item number 2 on the second page of this ordinance, it says 2 units per gross acre. So if I start out with 100 acres, take away 40 acres for 40% open space, that leaves me 60 acres. 4 times 60 is 240 houses on 60 acres. Is that correct? That sounds like a lot of density to me.
Answer the question.
It is better to leave that 40% open, is it not?
Oh, sure it is. Okay. But you're still going to have the same number of houses that you had before.
But aren't we getting a lot of money because of this ordinance to preserve open space in other places?
Well, I got another way for you to make some money.
But do you understand that money that we could get by enacting this would be a good thing?
I've got another way for you to get it. Two things are missing from here that I've seen. I've only been a resident in Delaware for 8 years. Okay? But there's two things missing from this ordinance that I've seen in ordinances in other states where I lived. One is oversight. I have no clue who makes sure that these contractors or developers follow the rules. I don't know who does that. Maybe one of you gentlemen can tell me. Number two, there's no provision in here for if they break the rules, how you fine them. Now, when you break the rules, put some big fines on them. Fine them $150,000, $200,000 every time they break a rule, and you'll make a lot more than what you're saying. Because what I'm reading in the newspaper today, these guys are supposed to be policing themselves, and they ain't doing it.
Sorry, sir. We do have a process that we go through. Planning zoning has to approve the site plan approval, and then we have inspectors that go out on the job. You know, so we do monitor it.
Okay, you monitor it.
Not very well, though.
But you're not doing a good job.
Well,
they're not.
That's your opinion.
I'm sorry.
That's your opinion.
You.
Thank
they're
you.
Not they're not doing a good job.
Yeah. Well, listen, if you don't like Sussex County, you've been here 8 years, you might consider going back where you came from.
That's another solution, I guess, from Mr. Dukes. That ought to be.
I don't see a lot of people leaving Sussex County.
Write that one down.
Gentlemen, this is a public hearing.
Remember that one the next
Oliver
time I
Hill
write you a letter.
That years
I was going to compliment you on something, and now I'm not going to do it. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else? We've got to be back here in about half hour. Let's just let the public talk. Anyone else?
We have one more gentleman.
Hindwater Farm is well represented today.
Well, they're being affected by this.
My name is David Ockey, A-C-H-E-Y. I live at 23387 Sloan Road, Pinewater Farms. And I'm 100% against change in the ordinance. And I come up to say, Mr. Cole, everybody I know is so thankful that you're on the council.
Yeah,
you have more friends than you could ever imagine. We all agree with what you say. And we all hope and pray that we can put more people, more help on the council to help you, because the rest of these guys aren't worth anything.
Well, you've upset them now.
How do you spell your last name,
kept
sir?
A-C-H-E-Y.
A-C-H-E-Y.
Sir, could I ask you one question?
I don't even want to talk to you. I hate you.
Your parents must be very sick of you.
Oh, that's my goodness.
Anyone else out there?
A lot of his family is. You're right.
Miss, would you come forward,
cousins,
ma'am?
Mostly cousins.
Oh, my.
Good group, huh?
They are. That's a lot of class you got back there, sir.
What's his first name? What's his first name?
My name is Faye Ellis Jones. I'm at 36065 Mount Hermon Circle, Del Mar, Delaware. Most of my life has been in higher education and most in Delaware, but the last 10 years in Ohio. I've just returned to the Eastern Shore to take over a family farm. That farm has been in our family since the 1800s. I have come to speak in opposition to this proposal, not that I think it's necessarily all bad, but that I think that it is being taken out of context. From what I understand, the county is currently working to fashion a comprehensive plan. And so I would think that any zoning proposals should be presented within a fuller, comprehensive plan. I don't know that the idea is particularly a bad one, but I am a little uncomfortable with changing zoning without thinking of a fuller plan. I am also a little uncomfortable with putting Delaware's agricultural land on the auction block to developers. Though you say this is better, I'm just a little uncomfortable with that. And I do know we need money for fees. I'm not sure that this is the answer. New development, from my understanding, requires services such as schools, roads, fire, police protection. Cost of community service studies show that nationwide farm, forests, and open lands more than pay for the municipal services they require, while taxes on residential uses on average fail to cover costs. I know that you're looking to recoup that. I just think that a more adequate plan needs to be looked at, and it needs to be open to the public once you've looked at it. Each time there's a new development and I read about it, I know that you turn the plans over to DelDOT for traffic studies. I often go to Laurel, Del Mar. There's new development there. There's new development planned. And there are now up to 15 to 20 minutes wait to get on the highway for turnarounds. They're dangerous. There's new development planned there. one in Blackwater Branch, and I'm just wondering what's to come. I just wonder if members of the council have thought about how to handle new development in these communities and what that will do to the quality of life. My next comment really provides subtext to my earlier points and has been of concern to me since I attended the comprehensive planning meeting. I'm still disturbed by an observation from that meeting and from a private conversation that I had with Mr. Phillips regarding a pending development. I think it was called Blackwater Branch in Delmar. First, let me take my conversation with Mr. Phillips. In our conversation, when I spoke against the development, Mr. Phillips spoke of development in Sussex County as being inevitable. And if indeed our elected officials see development in this light, then their resultant actions will result in the will of the people, such as myself, who desire conservation of natural resources, not being met. Secondly, I am still at a loss as to why an agricultural county hired an urban planner. My suggestion to the council is that in order to balance the interests of those of us who desire conservation of natural resources of this county and those who desire development, and not to make Sussex County appear like anywhere USA, you might be well advised to refrain from a one-sided comprehensive plan and consult with a farmland trust in order to take advantage of their services, including cost of community services studies, which are nationally acclaimed, analysis of the benefits of protected land, and analysis of protection services versus development. Such a balanced plan would, I believe, find common ground among Sussex Countyans. And I thank you for your attention.
Can I ask you a question?
Certainly.
Thank you. I'm a farmer. I've six generations
so
Sussex
I,
County.
So you told me.
Yeah. So I can appreciate what you appreciate, but I also appreciate the constitutional rights that property owners have. Do you understand that this ordinance will restrict development in those agricultural lands outside of growth zones?
Well, my question to you in a comprehensive plan, this is not my area. As I said, I came from higher education. That's why I preface my remarks.
Well, it's a yes or no question.
I'm not going to give you a yes or no. Okay. I say that to say that this is not my area of expertise. What I would say is, if indeed a farmer would wish to give up his or her land, what I'm saying in a comprehensive plan is, can you have growth areas that are not totally agricultural areas? Can you have Sussex County not being, and I'm listening to all the comments of the people who came before you, if you cannot get your residents to the hospital, if you cannot take care of your, if you cannot get your fire people to a home that's on fire, if you cannot have access to people, you have to figure out how to do this. You have so many stoplights now in Delaware that you cannot actually get to where you need to go. The comprehensive plan, I would assume, would have you think about how do you actually have a quality of life in this county. And I hope that Sussex does not turn out looking like, and excuse me, this is just my own opinion, one single individual, Kent and Newcastle. Because Sussex is an individual county, and it was a beautiful agricultural county.
So how can you oppose an ordinance that restricts development in the countryside? If that is your feeling.
I'm not saying that I absolutely oppose it. I'm saying it needs to be part of a larger comprehensive plan. What I'm also suggesting.
So the applications that are going to come in between now and the time that new plan is approved will come in scot-free. We won't have any restrictions as I'm proposing on that.
How long does it take you to get your comprehensive plan done?
It's going to be another 6-8 months. And what often happens is there is a flood of applications
before your comprehensive plan.
Then after the comprehensive plan is approved, we then have to draft ordinances to support it. So it could be a year or two before everything is in place. I'd like to go ahead and put those restrictions on today to do what you're suggesting.
We can do that today through.
Oh, we can't do it today because planning and zoning.
No, I mean, we do it today under our current ordinances, guys. Don't make him make it. He's made it, painted a picture that Okay. Our hands are tied. No, they're not.
I think we've covered that.
Any farm in Sussex County can be developed in 2 units to the acre anywhere in this county right now. And that's the highest density of anywhere on the East Coast almost. You go to Accomack County or Virginia down here, it's like 1 to 20, 1 to 40 in the agricultural district because the farmers want to save farmland. You go to Maryland, it's like around the Nanticoke River, it's like 1 to 20 a house because they want to save farmland. In Sussex County, the farmers have addressed saving farmland. 2 units to the acre on any farm in Sussex County.
And, if you look to Wicomico County, they are now saying it has to be innovative and creative. So I would say we need to look to our neighbors in Wicomico.
Mr. Cole is only half right. Right now, a developer can come in and propose 12 units per acre anywhere in the county.
And you can say no.
And
that's the flexibility
and that's
we have
what
today.
I would say to you gentlemen. And
let's hear the speaker, please.
Please, you know, use your power to save this county and just say no. I mean, we tell our children, just say no. Say no.
So wouldn't it be a good idea to create a law that basically
makes
forces
them say no.
Say no?
It's like your kids.
I mean,
well, I would make it less than your density. I think your density is way too high. I would not have multiple.
You people to make intelligent decisions, and he wants you to have a supportive ordinance so that his hands are
turning.
I would.
Mr.
Phillips,
we have a speaker.
I would
podium.
Not have it before. I certainly would not have that in agricultural areas. I would have it be less.
It's 12 now, you know.
Well, I know you're saying it's 12. I don't really know that, so I would be ignorant of that. And that's why I introduced myself as someone from higher education. I'm too ignorant of that. But I would have it be less than that because I think that we are losing. I think the Farmland Trust information says we are losing an acre every 2 minutes. And I think that we are at a point at Sussex County where we have a chance to preserve it, and I don't think we're doing it. And I think you have the power here, and I really trust that you're not doing it, and I pray you will.
Thank you. Is there anyone else who would like to be heard regarding this proposed ordinance? Let the record show that no one else asked to be recognized. We do not have a recommendation from planning and zoning, so we will need to defer.
I need a motion, gentlemen, to defer.
But we also need to, if you want to build into that, you need to determine whether the record should be left open.
You got questions, Mr. Rogers?
For further comment.
Yeah, before today, I've read through this since its inception when we were handed a first draft, and listened to our citizens today, it mirrors a lot of what I had concerns with in the ordinance as it was drafted. First of all, we've hired a land use consultant to create a land use plan, and my concern is that the upcoming land use plan, you know, does the land use planner have this? Does he give us his thoughts on this ordinance? It should be part of the land use plan process, which we got to have done in October anyway, and you know this should be made part of that. He should be part of this. And I just believe that our consultant should have more input before we move too forward on this. Because he is creating out a big plan for us, and we're plugging something else in that he may not be considering. It had also in here, it says,